Presents.
Supposedly, he was born in a mental institution and he sleeps only 1 hour a night.
Ed Hawken.
You're crazy.
Let's rock.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit!
The Ed Hawken Show.
This is The Ed Hawken Show, episode 25.
Holy shit.
That's right. It's gone silver. Silver anniversary for the show. So I better get some silver from Rob and CJ. Hopefully it's not going to be of
Is that a euphemism?
What do you mean?
Getting silver from them?
Maybe. What about it? Anyway, as you can tell already, our Randall is back. You know, he's back after taking care of that thing for me. He can't say anything further. And, you know, how you been?
Horrible. Absolutely horrible.
What do you mean? Did you just see Charlie Sheen's stage show? Is that why you're feeling pissed off?
Well, that was a ripoff. Mm. It's been a very trying 2 weeks between crazy neighbor and plumbing problems and storms and blackouts and all types of madness. So it's been rough.
It's also that you traveled back in time for a moment, didn't you?
I can't even remember.
Okay, yeah, you quantum leaped, and yeah. I was your guide from the present to help you. You can only see and hear me.
Yeah, and wearing bad dated 80s clothes.
That's right, because it's actually supposed to be 19. Basically, it's quantum leap, and yeah, of course, I'd be your assistant on this. I wouldn't be the lead. The only reason I mention this is, and I'm not going to go into spoilers because this was really fun. Good. I just came back from seeing Source Code. Fantastic.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, Duncan Jones does it again. Different, it's a tight movie. It's about a little over 90 minutes and really, really good though.
How did Jake Gyllenhaal do?
I thought he was fine. I don't really get bothered by him. I know there was that time. I think there's still that effort of trying to make him into an action star, you know, because they tried doing that with Prince of Persia. And
he was in that. That looked awful.
Yeah, and that's what I hear. And I don't know. I obviously he shouldn't be an action star, but you know he was very good in this.
He would have been an awesome Spider-Man, but that didn't happen.
Well, so yeah, and they were planning to do that.
That was the idea, yeah. And then I think that got planted the action character seed in Hollywood.
I think so, but it's also I think because there's just been a serious lack of action film stars. If we're talking about like the traditional 80s action film stars, we just don't have that anymore.
Well, we have like Jason Statham and these guys, but they, you know, he's done his share of fucking crazy action movies. So,
right.
I don't know that there's anyone else aside from that guy, though.
Yeah, I will say about Source Code, I was curious to see who did the score. This is not done by Clint Mansell. He had done the one for Moon. Soundtrack was pretty good. If anything, this kind of reminded me of like a Hitchcock movie.
Who did the score for this one?
Someone I didn't recognize, but his last name was Bacon.
Probably Hans Zimmer.
It wasn't Hans Zimmer.
It was him and Hans Zimmer, right?
It was John Williams.
Hans Zimmer does everything.
It was Randy Newman.
Did it sound like Hans Zimmer? Every movie sounds like Hans Zimmer.
Randy Newman doesn't sound like Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, he does now.
Oh, my God. No, it was actually Jerry Goldsmith. He came back from the dead and did it himself. It was actually basically the music from Star Trek 2. So
I like Jerry Goldsmith.
Oh yeah, he was great.
You know what score his is arguably, I don't know if I would say it's the best, but is really interesting because he does some really experimental stuff with it. Was Planet of the Apes?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Use a lot of noises. And
I like Clint Mansell a lot. Once again, I love the soundtrack of Moon. The soundtrack for Requiem from a Dream, even though I've said before I'll never see that movie, is great.
You don't
great
know soundtrack. How horrifying that movie is unless you watch it one time.
I will never, because I know watch it once. I obviously know that you don't engage in heroin or drug abuse.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the only movie I can think of even that's kind of close to that in terms, I mean, from what I gather, and again, I've never seen it, is a movie called Autofocus, which is with Greg Kinnear and William Dafoe, and it's about Crane from Hogan's Heroes and how the fact he liked videotaping himself while fucking.
Yeah.
So
wasn't there a whole scene that takes place with him and Willem Dafoe jerking off together in the same room?
Yeah, they're jerking off.
Having a conversation?
Yeah, they're having a casual conversation. They're watching their own sex tapes, and like William Dafoe is already jerking off, and
it's
Greg Kinnear's like,
"Willem Dafoe, goddammit.
I said Willem. I said Willem.
You said William.
No, I didn't.
You bastard.
We're gonna check the transcript.
Show some fucking respect.
Hey, we're gonna check the transcripts, and I'm pretty sure.
Where's the person taking this down? Can you play that? Read that back to us.
What? Oh, so you see, I didn't say that. So anyway, yeah, so Willem Dafoe is sitting there on the couch jerking off, and then they're watching old sex tapes of theirs, and Greg Kinnear's like, oh, I gotta get in on this, and he undoes his pants, he starts yanking it, and...
Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah. That's...
Yeah, and Paul Schrader, who the guy who wrote and directed it, is talking about, even though they're watching straight, you know, they're watching, you know, straight porn here, this is what he would call a homosexual experience, and he's absolutely right, I would say.
I that takes an incredible amount of focus.
Yeah.
To I knew of a story, and I can't vouch for the mm-hmm. truth, you know, how true this is, but
okay.
I heard a story about two guys I used to know who banged their girlfriends on the same bed together right next to each other at the same time. And I'm not saying that that's impossible.
Right.
But that takes a lot of focus.
Yeah.
I think I would get kind of competitive.
What do you mean by competitive in a sense? Oh, actually, I don't even want to know what the answer to that question is.
And also, I think I would be inclined to want to take over the situation. I would want to be the, you know what I'm saying? I'd be like, hey, what's this other guy doing here? We get this guy out of here. I can take care of all this.
Yeah, yeah.
I get greedy.
You know? Very possessive. I can imagine.
I think it'd be bad.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good.
They were probably coked up, though. I don't know.
There was a lot of drugs going on and all that. And there's another scene, I think, in the movie where, like, they're watching some tape. And, like, obviously, this is early video technology, so they can't tell what the hell's going on. Where, like, Greg Kinnear's watching some video and, like, hey, what's that going on over there? And then William Dafoe's like, yeah, it actually...
You said it again, man. You said William again.
I said Willem.
You said William.
I said Willem.
I can't wait for you to hear
basically,
this. We've got it on.
I want to finish the goddamn story. So basically, yeah, I fingered you at this point. It's like, you did? And it's like, he was all, like, upset about that. Just for the fact that in the middle of this orgy that Willem Dafoe did not have the common decency to ask before he... committed
before
his own
he,
prostate, you know,
before
examined
he
a prostate.
Greg Kinnear.
Greg Kinnear? Yeah.
Wow, man.
It's a very good movie. I will say, I would recommend it. It's very good.
I will not be watching that movie.
No, it's good, though. You ever watch Paul Schrader's stuff? Or
My favorite Paul Schrader project is Taxi Driver.
Of course.
But I am not... I've heard so much about his other work, but it's not something that really... A lot of the descriptions I heard just didn't appeal to me, and mm-hmm. plus I'm really lazy, so I'm like, meh, I'll get around to it.
That's understandable. I can say, I think the only other thing I saw is like I also saw The Lincoln Lawyer, pretty good. It's good seeing Matthew McConaughey act in outside of romantic comedies. You know, I gotta say, speaking about Matthew McConaughey, no, I'm not gonna say he's a hot piece of ass. I am gonna say that for someone who's known supposedly to be a pretty boy, and the fact he's got, you know, he's always walking around with his shirt off, in this movie because there's so many close-ups, dude's got some fucked up teeth.
Really?
Yeah. He's got some really fucked up teeth.
There are some actors that have surprisingly messed up teeth. You know who has some weird teeth is Matthew Fox. His bottom teeth are a little...
jaggedy.
Wigged out. I remember that because in Speed Racer, you get a lot of focus on that because he's got the Racer X mask on.
Right.
And he's like, and he's showing a lot of bottom teeth action.
Well, yeah. And then going back to Jake Gyllenhaal, what do you think? Are you burned out?
What do I think of Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, what do you think?
I think he's great, man. I liked him in... my favorite performance of his was in... October Sky.
Oh, yeah, and that's a very good movie, actually.
Yeah,
that's a really good movie. And I'd also say, I mean, I've always thought he's been very, very good. I think he can get overexposed. Well, he's just in a lot of projects, and you just see a lot of stuff with his face in it, and you're going to get bored fast. And I may have said this before, it's really cool. He actually shows up in a very early episode of Homicide: Life on the Street when he was about 13, 14 years old. It's the episode with Robin Williams. And it was actually directed
I've seen
by his by Gyllenhaal's father.
Yeah,
so
that's a weird episode because it's a really interesting idea. But that was my least favorite episode from the series because it broke the usual narrative of the show.
Well, and it was because it was mainly about him. That was the thing. It went outside of just the squad room and it focused on him.
It also was shot differently from the rest of the show too.
Oh yeah,
I hated the way it looked.
Well, again, that was Gyllenhaal's father. So it's interesting to see that. I know basically outside of Source Code, I'm pretty much maybe I'm going to see Your Highness. I can't really think of it much else except that maybe seen Hangover 2, even though the trailer.
I know Your Highness looks promising, but I swear to God that's going to be
garbage.
A huge disappointment.
A hot dump.
I don't know how anybody else felt about Pineapple Express, but I'd shut that thing off.
I fucking love Pineapple Express.
I shut that off like 15, 20 minutes in the movie.
Really?
I tried so hard to enjoy that movie, but it felt like.
Awesome.
there was no momentum at all. It was just nothing.
It gets good. It really does. I mean, it definitely feels
maybe
like
I'll give it a chance another time. But I felt the same way. You know, this is a cardinal sin right here. But I felt the same way when I watched Midnight Run. I shut Midnight Run off.
Well, I can understand about Midnight Run because that takes off very slowly.
That's fucking not funny at all, dude. That pissed me off when I saw that movie because it was not a comedy. It wasn't fucking funny. And I was like, what the hell is this? I've been hearing about that movie for years.
Yeah.
Everybody, oh my God, Midnight Run is the best buddy cop comedy ever. I'll tell you what, 48 Hours is way fucking better than Midnight Run.
Well, here's why I could see that, because Midnight Run is a long-ass movie. 48 Hours is pretty fucking short.
Yeah.
They
take care of fucking business, and it's funny.
And it's got Nick Nolte.
And it's got fucking Nick Nolte. And Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, when he was in his
20s. Who directed that movie?
Walter Hill.
Walter Hill, yeah.
And you know who's also in it? James Remar.
Yeah.
That's right.
James Remar, dude. How was that not a good movie?
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Great stuff. Now, I also you had just recently listened to, Rob and CJ just came out with another episode of Brain Dead Radio where they discussed, you wanted to discuss this issue about Creepshow. Did you want to respond to that? How did you feel about that?
Well, actually, I thought you were the one that wanted to talk about it.
Well, let's talk about Creepshow and the fact
you
I admit, though, I haven't
me
really
like
seen
I got
it.
Some beef with it. I forgot about it until you mentioned it.
Well, I wanted to bring it back.
But you seem more pissed about it than me.
I'm more excited. I don't mean that in a sexual way. I'm just saying that we were talking about this before we came on the air.
You do have a hardcover book covering the front part of your
I happen
pants
to have
right
my
now.
Trapper Keeper in front of me.
Yeah.
Okay, or my peachy folder, although because that's a soft cover folder, then could be some tent in action going on there.
Yeah.
But anyway, Creepshow.
So what was the... Rob had recently seen... He'd rewatched... Was it Creepshow 1?
Creepshow 1. The original, the real deal.
And said that he hated it because it wasn't scary and it was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And basically said that everything that sucked about it... Well, actually, basically, all the stuff that he said was horrible about it was all the stuff that I liked about it growing up and enjoyed.
Okay.
It was kind of this innate sort of hokiness, but fun. And even though it was kind of like, you know what it reminds me of is like the Jason movies, like Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't find those movies scary. I never have.
Yeah.
When I saw them when I was a kid, I was never been scared of Jason. I've never been scared of the character,
right.
The situations, anything. I mean, I'm sure like the idea could be scary, but if you think about it, but really, it just felt like I was really disconnected from the whole idea.
Mm-hmm.
Freddy, I wasn't really that scared of Freddy either, but the idea could be a little scary. I mean, a pedophile with knife fingers, whatever.
Wait, let me just interrupt you for 1 second, because this was possibly going to happen. What are your thoughts and feelings on Child's Play? Because they were...
I love the first Child's Play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
I shouldn't say I love it. I haven't seen it in a million years.
There was talk of them doing a remake when they tried to resuscitate MGM, but that was taken off the table.
That's a movie that I don't think would be hurt by a remake, honestly. I mean, I like the original a lot, and I think it's a lot of fun, and it's cool, and it's cheesy, but the first one actually reminds me a little of that Creepshow dynamic where it's like, it's not too serious, but it's not stupid enough to where I can't get, you know... I'm not compelled by the story or interested in seeing what's going to happen or whatever.
Okay.
And stuff like that. It's engaging enough, you know, whatever.
Right.
But Creepshow is a lot of fun because it's like, you know, it's rooted in its old EC Comics background. You know, it's like a tribute to that stuff and everything. And those, they weren't as good as the old EC Comics, but the spirit of it being like absurdity, just complete absurdity. But also, you know, I mean, it's heightened reality.
Yeah.
It's just out of control. I mean, it's just wild ideas. And I think it's a pretty brave project. I mean, you know, everybody who worked on it just kind of went balls out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even really, I don't even know if it's horror, but it's sort of monster, schlocky, kind of almost like somewhere between Trauma and, you know, John Carpenter or something like that, which is like the, you know, between high quality and
right.
real schlock
now,
stuff.
It's funny you mentioned Trauma. I'm not a what are you feeling? How do you feel about Trauma?
Trauma's
not a
weird
fan.
Because Trauma is a lot like, to me, the Creepshow stuff, where it's like, it doesn't appeal to everyone.
Right.
I think it's going to confuse a lot of people who watch it because they might think because it's sold as kind of horror, or it should be scary or should be evocative in some certain way.
Right.
Or some specific way. That when they... Excuse me. When they see it, they'll be just ragingly disappointed because it doesn't make sense. Like, this isn't fucking scary. This isn't crazy. Kind of like Rob was freaking out because Creepshow wasn't scary. But I don't know because I grew up watching Creepshow and I've seen it a million times, and I was never scared of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting, and it was fun to watch, and it was crazy. but kind of crazy like Godzilla or another monster movie where it's just kind of like, I don't know how to, do you know what I'm talking about? Like,
well,
you kind of,
it's
engaging, but it's not like I'm invested in it. Like, this is the scariest fucking thing
I've
ever seen.
Well, what it sounds like to me, and again, I'm not a horror person. We've just talked about this a lot. I will say, just going back to Troma, I mean, I respect their business model just because, I mean, that's true independent cinema. I never cared for any, I've never really cared for the Troma movies because it's not my brand of humor. Mm. I mean, it's like taking the Mad Magazine kind of humor and dialing it up about 1,000%. And I remember once I was sitting in an independent theater and I saw a trailer for Poltergeist, and that thing looked like complete ass. Yeah. So, I mean, I know those movies are incredibly low budget. I mean, that's how Lloyd Kaufman runs his thing.
That's an understatement.
But I think were it not for him, we would never have had Cannibal the Musical. So, you got to take with what you can get. What it sounds like to me with Creepshow is that you definitely, it almost kind of gives off what it reminds me most of, it seems like the Twilight Zone. Those are not scary, those are just interesting.
No.
How is it not like Twilight Zone?
No, Twilight Zone, are you talking about the old show or the movies?
The show, not the movie.
The show, I like Twilight Zone a lot, and I think there's a lot of people who really dig Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people, you know, it's tough, you know what, you're getting into kind of a thing here too that is a kind of a problem, because you have to, I won't call it a sense of forgiveness or whatever, but when you watch old movies, you're watching, not everything is going to be,
it's going to be of its time.
Yeah, not everything is going to age well.
Yeah.
And like, one of my favorite movies, for example, is The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original one, not the fucking Keanu Reeves thing. I've never seen that, to be fair, but it looks like shit.
Yeah, right.
But maybe it's awesome. I don't know. I don't think that's the
pretty
case.
Pretty damn
but,
sure.
You know, anyway, I like the original one. And nowadays, if you showed that to a kid, like a 16-year-old or something, they'd fucking think it was retarded, because you see like Gort, who's like this big silver robot, he's supposed to be scary, and he looks like a puppet, you know what I mean? And then you got the cheesy spacesuits and stuff like that and everything. For me, I can kind of forgive that, because it's like the whole movie's so well produced. I mean, it's Robert Wise, for God's sake, who's an amazing director, great cinematography, great acting, really cool script. Great idea. Awesome. I mean, the speech alone at the end is really awesome. You know what I mean? Just the words, the power of the dialogue and stuff. It's really cool. It's really well done. It takes itself seriously, but not too seriously. And it's just a perfect balance of a science fiction movie. But its trappings are of a 1950s science fiction film. And we all know Robert Wise is not beyond the ability to do a dated production design. I mean, look at the original Star Trek movie. That does not age well at all. It's almost instantly dated. I mean, even for its time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, compared to the other Trek movies, the production design really holds up better than that one does.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's just crazy. I think his sensibilities are a little weird when it comes to the you know, alien or otherworldly designs and stuff like that. But I think that same thing applies to Twilight Zone, where it's like you have to really get into the idea, and your imagination has to help you really, you know, you have to be involved as an audience and go like, you know, and get into the story, if there is one, and really let them guide you and suspend your disbelief of all this craziness that's going on. For instance, like Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, the original, the Richard Donner directed William Shatner classic episode. Where there's that monster on the wing. I think that's an awesome, legitimately awesome episode. I think it's really suspenseful, really cool, really surprising, really well done. I think Shatner does a great job. It's probably his best acting performance of his career. It's really fun. It's really cool. And the monster looks completely awful. It's idiotic. It's the worst thing ever. It's the shittiest thing ever. I love it, but you understand what I'm saying. It's I'm not trying to insult. I know I just did insult it, but what I mean is like, I mean that in the most, you know, understanding way possible, is I know what they were doing. It's a low budget.
The
sensibilities are totally different. You know, just a different time. It's just that happens. Shit like that happens all the time. You have to kind of, you know, I don't think it's asking too much to forgive something like that.
Oh, yeah. I think, because that's not the intent. What you're saying is not the intent. I mean, I know it was, I believe, I think the movie did not do well. I just know it's one of those films of 1982, and that was a massive year.
Yeah.
Although, speaking of Nightmare at 20,000 Feet, the John Lithgow remake is pretty damn good. I saw
You know what's
that
funny?
Recently.
I've never seen that. But because I like the original so much, I just thought I can't. But I really like Lithgow and stuff, and I think I heard there are a bunch of changes to it. But
well, they modernized it for the time, and it's just, to me, it's like, it was done by like an Aussie director, and it's just like they really amped it up. It was
the monster
really
looks
good.
Great, though. On that one. That was really
and,
cool.
They
should intercut those two, turn to black and white, and intercut.
It's gone black to white, to color, to black and white, to color, to black and white, and back to color. And The other thing is, really, and I may have mentioned this, I don't think I have on this show, is that the infamous Vic Morrow segment, it begins at this bar, which is by the shopping center by Ventura and Sepulveda, where I used to have my birthday dinner for pizza.
Oh,
and it's very funny.
Yeah.
It looks exactly the same.
Lito's Pizza.
Yes.
Right there. Yeah.
And
that's across the street from where I used to work over there.
Yes.
Too.
And
just filled with hookers and shady people over there.
Oh yeah. And the video store that used to be half of porn and no longer is there.
It's not 2020 Video's not there anymore?
Nope, went away.
Oh fuck.
Chain finally went away.
Yeah.
As you know, a lot of big box stores have been going out of business. I think the Borders nearby here is finally, after God knows how many weeks.
Wait, before we trail off, do we want to finish this?
Oh, yeah, going back to Creepshow here.
So Creepshow, I think, requires a little bit of that. I don't want to say suspension of disbelief, but a little bit of
understanding.
It reminds me of the same thing. You know, you go in and you watch it, and it's like I said, The Day the Earth Stood Still, one of these movies where you're not going to be fucking scared out of your mind when you see these old monsters or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you watch Forbidden Planet again and they show the creature from the id and it's like an animated crazy thing, which
right.
is an awesome idea the way that, but its execution at the time was amazing, but now really doesn't hold up very well. But you can kind of appreciate where it's coming from. You have to. You know what I'm saying? You have to, otherwise you can't enjoy it at all. And there's two schools of thought there. Where it's like, one, I can't connect with it because it's too dated, and I need someone to really show me something that's legit and that I can really wrap my head around
mm-hmm.
without having to you know, what would you say? Like, I translate in your mind, or forgive the.
You either, I think what you're saying is you got to modernize it for the sensibilities. I think, or you're gonna have to just allow.
I'm not
it
saying
to be
you have
is.
To. I just think there's people that require that. They're like, I can't connect with this movie because these characters look really dated and hokey, and it doesn't. I can't connect with it anymore. Like watching the original King Kong is probably impossible. For I wouldn't say everyone in a younger generation.
Yeah.
I'm saying like your average person who's
right.
not a cinema inclined type of individual.
Someone who would actually go to the Charlie Sheen stage show, I would say yes.
Oh, I'm not even saying that. I just mean like if you showed it to somebody who just didn't give a shit about film history.
Right.
Meaning there was no context, it didn't make a difference one way or another. You were just saying unapologetically, here's this movie, and you showed them this old stop motion King Kong, they wouldn't be able to appreciate that was produced when it was, how it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by Willis O'Brien and the amazing work that he put into it and what that means for its time.
Yeah.
And really connect with the intention of the original movie, you would just take it at face value and go, holy shit, this looks retarded. I should just watch the new one because it's better special effects.
Mm.
But there's so much else the movie can offer. You go two separate ways. You just you reconcile that in your mind and you can totally take it for what it's worth. Or you go, can't do it. It just doesn't look right to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Creepshow is really on that same wavelength where it's like, you know, this stuff, maybe the stuff's supposed to be scary, but I'm not connecting with it. Although I disagree with that. I don't think it was supposed to be like insanely scary. It's called Creepshow. At its best, I guess it would be creepy, sort of, but or disconcerting.
Well, what was your favorite part of Creepshow?
I actually tend to. I saw these growing up a lot, and I haven't seen them within the past 5-10 years.
Okay.
I don't remember, but I remember. I mix the two up. I mix Creepshow 1 and 2 up.
Mm-hmm.
Did the first one have the tar creature in it in the lake?
Shit.
Or was that the second one?
I think that may have been the second one.
Shit. Which one had the Ted Danson one? I wish
that's
I
the that's the first one.
That's
with
the
heads
first
in the
one?
Sand.
Yeah.
With Leslie
see,
Nielsen
like one. I remember that, and that was cool. And then. There was one. Which one was the one with the roaches?
The first one.
That was the first one,
yeah.
Also. See, that was a cool one too. I love that. And then the creep. I think that may have scarred me on bugs. By the way,
yeah.
That might have been what fucked me up. But that's an awesome entry, and there's some great irony there and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun and everything. And then,
I think
the second one was the Cigar Store in India was the second one, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
That was my favorite of all of them. Mm-hmm. I love that one. That's the best one.
What did you think of the when Stephen King was playing the hillbilly?
Oh, yeah, see, there's another one. I love that when he gets the moss monster-looking guy.
Yeah.
I call him Moss Man because it reminds me of the moss character from He-Man.
Yeah.
The toy. I don't know if anyone remembers it as a kid. Actually, they probably do. Was the Moss Man toy was actually, like, fuzzy.
Oh,
that,
wow.
Like, he was flocked, so it had that fuzziness to it. And it was like Stephen King was turning into the Moss Man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, look at that, dude. Like is that how do you take that seriously? I mean, it seems like it's a joke. I mean, it's just – it's fun. It's stupid. It is what it is.
It's silly.
It's an anthology of these, like, whacked out, weird stories that sometimes they're supposed to be kind of like horror, sometimes they're monster stuff,
right?
Other times, you know, whatever. I mean, I remember, I think the first one also had that dog in the cage or that animal in the cage thing.
The animal in the box.
Yeah. The animal in the box thing and stuff like that. And it's like, I mean, I don't know, man. That stuff, it's not the greatest thing in the universe. I'm not going to go shouting through the streets for everyone to watch Creepshow, but I enjoyed it, and I think I could take it at face value and just dig it for what it was. And it's not, you know, it's not disappointing because I wasn't expecting it to be like the greatest horror movie
right.
of all time. It's just, it's Creepshow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a good story is a good story.
I can't speak for anyone who's going to see it without the context, without knowing when it's from. I mean, when we were growing up, you know, that was kind of huge. That was like the stuff really that was out there a lot that was like, you know, it was, I don't know, to me it was a big deal when it came out. And I mean, I wasn't even born when it came out, but
right.
I mean, seeing it later
on tape,
you know, I was born in 84, it came out in 82. So like, you know, it's just, I saw it when it was cool and when it was new or newer, you know, within within the context when it was made.
Did you ever see like Tales from the Dark Side or like any of the other Tales from the Crypt movies?
Tales from the Hood or whatever.
Tales from the Hood.
I saw the Tales from the Crypt movies. I never was a big fan of any of them though.
Yeah, I never saw Demon Knight. So
I saw Demon Knight. It wasn't like I couldn't really get into it.
Pan-shatteringly great.
I couldn't get into it. It was.
And then there was that time in the mid '90s when Dennis Miller had a film career for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. What
God help
about.
Us all. But. I will say, I mean, and then the other thing going on over the past few days was actually just yesterday, I attended, it was known as International Pillow Fight Day. I know this is a big change of
that
leadership.
That was a big, gigantic...
But it was a big global
pillow
event.
Pillow fight?
Yes.
Going on in downtown L.A.?
Downtown L.A. at Pershing Square. Myself, I had my pillow. I went to Target. I bought a fresh one, and I brought it over. I should have worn a face
you
mask.
You should have brought your dirty, slobbered out yellow pillow.
How dare you notice that pillow?
Put some rocks in there.
Well, it's funny that you say that because I was told online, it's like, why don't you throw some bullets and some barbed wire in there and show those kids who's boss? And also carry on your person, and just in case, a sock full of Irish Spring and go to town.
Yeah.
Well, I said I was going to save that Irish Spring for Gomer Pyle later that night, but I did go, and it was a great event. It really was. At 2 o'clock, we all went nuts. And it was really fun. I mean,
was it raining or anything?
No, it was cloudy and just, you know, feathers are going everywhere.
Your hair looked wet in your photos.
Sweating.
Really?
It was a lot. It was hot as hell because you're running around. I had to run around with a jacket on.
They forced you to wear a jacket?
No, I had a hoodie on with me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I needed to carry my glasses.
As a side note, we have this weird weather going on right now where it's cloudy and hot at the same time. I don't know how it's possible.
It's called humidity, I think.
No, it's fucked up. I was walking out here earlier when I was going to meet up with you.
Right.
And it looked like it was like 40 degrees outside. And I started walking around and it was hot as shit. Like the sun was shining through, even though it was like London. It looked like London outside. The sun was still shining through somehow. And it was still hot as fuck. It was like it was a cool like 85 degrees. Mm-hmm. I mean, and yet it was cloudy as fuck. I don't know how this happens. I don't know how
it does.
Possible.
You know what's also cool is like if you have towards when the sun is setting and you have overcast and the way light comes in and then bounces off the clouds, so everything becomes illuminated. That's great.
Well, it's like a diffusion type thing.
Yeah. But anyway, going back to the pillow fight. Yeah, it was a big global event. There was like all these cities in the world got together and just beat the crap out of
each
other.
How many rapes and killings were there during that whole
thing? I don't know. But I will say I had my, you know, I was sweating just because of hitting people with a pillow. And the other thing I was doing, because it was just constantly a lot of screaming, a lot of
someone there was running around with a boner, I can guarantee it.
Probably.
Because that's somebody's fetish and it came to life.
Yeah.
And they get to discreetly go.
Now, the thing is, I tried to keep in mind, because there were a lot of small children, I said to myself I was going to employ Leon-style tactics. I said no
women, no kids.
Well, I did hit some women, but...
so, not quite Leon.
Although I was kind of defending myself with my left, and I was just blocking. And
you should
like,
have taken a Captain America shield with you.
Well, I did at times scream America, fuck yeah, because some of the guys were going, USA!
Actually,
USA!
Yeah, if you had the foresight to know what kind of shit you're going to get into, you could have gotten the old red-brown 1970s Captain America helmet.
Oh, my God.
With the goggles and shit, and then with the giant wings painted on the side.
Yeah.
And then the shield, and then the pillow. And then you could have just yelled, does this A on my head stand
for France?
Or do you think this A on my head stands for France?
Yes. Well, the thing is that's the question you have to ask yourself is, would you want to wear a costume to an event like this? Because if you wear a costume, that makes you an automatic target. Some guy showed up as Gumby, they beat the shit out of him with pillows. So, and then another guy showed up wearing completely an outfit made of pillows, and was, they once again beat the shit out of him too. Yeah. So it was great. It was basically like being in a full scale riot. I know during this thing, I was also yelling out Packers from that old Mystery Science Theater 3000. Yeah. So they're going, Packers! Packers won the Super Bowl! And then some guys yelled out, this guy's a Packers fan! And then I got the shit beat out of me.
So let me ask you something. Was it a lot of white people at this thing?
Oh, it was a fairly mixed crowd, but there's certainly a hipster contingent.
I was asking because I'm not trying to be racist about this, but I was just thinking, like, this is what other
white people
races look at, and they're like, I just picture black guys looking at this going like, what the fuck's wrong with these white people?
Actually, there were quite, it was a multi ethnic crowd.
I'm just saying, it just seems like that thing. Like, there's no, like, it seems
like the kind of thing you would see on stuff that white people like. Yeah, you know, that website.
Like, only a pack of like
just hipsters,
hipster white people would do a giant pillow fight.
Well, I can assure you, there was many creeds and colors out there, and it was great. Yeah. And then what was also funny was that some guy showed up. Also selling pillows in case you wanted to get one.
Or Hawking pillows.
Yeah.
You know what would have been awesome, by the way, if they do this again? You sell Ed Hawking pillows.
What would it look like?
It would just have the logo, our logo on it.
Oh, good point. Good point.
But what do you think would be on it? What do you think? It's like,
my face?
You wipe your ass with it and give it that? What do you think is going
to
happen?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out whether for the next time, obviously I'm going to bring a face mask so I'm not inhaling so much feather material.
You're
going to
bring a face mask?
Well, like a, you know, just a... Like,
yeah, but you'll be breathing your own carbon dioxide.
Good
man.
Point. I'll be
Jesus
dying.
Jesus Christ, you'll die.
I gotta wear a handkerchief over my face.
You wear a rebreather. Get one of those things. You get them from the hardware store. Well, somebody that will fuck you up if you get hit in the face with one of those. One of the cartridges slips out and gets you in the eye.
Oh.
You're gonna go to the emergency room.
Well, in that case,
just
I should
breathe
just wear
in some goddamn feathers.
I should just wear an oxygen tank, a scuba suit, and just go start wailing on people. Or...
Just wear one of those old diving suits.
I can't feel anything.
You look like a Scooby-Doo villain.
I'm trying to decide if I was to go into costume, would I either go as Abe Lincoln or would I try to dress like the news team from Anchorman?
You go as Paul Revere.
Hey, what? Then I gotta wear britches, and I'm like, I don't want to wear britches.
Well, you just wear the Paul Revere thing, but then wear
a tri-corner hat.
No hats. So I got them knocked off.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But then you just wear your regular shoes.
Oh, okay.
You have those Chuck Taylors, right?
Yeah.
Get those Paul Revere Chuck Taylors on. Hipster Paul Revere.
Oh my God. I don't know how that would work, but that's a Halloween costume right there. The hipster founding fathers.
Yeah.
Oh man, the entire Constitutional Convention was
just
a lot of PBR and
you
know, a lot of, you know, mustaches and all that stuff, but. And then there were some people doing like the chicken fight thing where they would stand on their shoulder, you know, they would sit on someone's shoulders and try to fight each other. I don't know how anyone survived that.
I want to go to this thing now because I'm just thinking about all the ways you could fuck people up
with
a pillow.
Like, I mean,
did you see anybody get swept off their feet by getting just smacked in the legs with pillows from coming from behind?
No, but no, what it
I know I could knock somebody off their feet.
I mean, for me, because I always because I had no face mask, I was always bent over.
Did you have your glasses on?
No, I took them off. There was no way I was gonna wear my glasses.
You didn't have your contacts, right?
No, I just...
Yeah, because you were going to get those.
Yeah, they would have gotten knocked out.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I would have gotten more crap.
So you can't see anything, just waving around, kicking little kids and shit. It's like Braveheart with pillows.
Yeah, right? Pretty much. And then I once yelled out, I was you know, pillow fighting with someone, and I said, I went to Yale for this shit. And then some guy yelled out, oh yeah, well I went to Harvard. And then he proceeded to hit me in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And then also then, because I had my... I was low to the ground, I kept hitting people, and I kind of was below the belt. Someone proceeded to nut shot me with a pillow, and then, yeah,
oh
it did hurt.
Oh, my God.
Thankfully, I didn't go down to my knees, but yeah, I was like... I said, I deserve that, and then I proceeded to walk away.
You should have pulled out a knife and just shanked that guy.
Yeah, just pulled out a gun and started opening fire.
I don't know that I couldn't take that personally. I'd bring some, like, brass knuckles or something. I'd be like, if somebody did that to me, I would fuck them
well,
up.
Well, then that's why you would have brought the sack of doorknobs.
Yeah, I'd bring a gun and just start firing while...
Just firing in the air randomly. Ah! Just yelling like Sam Kettison, yelling.
I get a pillow and a baseball bat. I just need to go to town.
Yeah,
I feel like
pretty
much. You know what you do? You dress like Casey Jones.
Casey Jones.
You just have your sweatpants, a tank top, a ski mask, a bag of...
There were a few people with ski masks, and then they also had that ski mask with the beard on it.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The
hockey mask.
Hockey mask, sorry.
Oh, man. That would have been too good.
Yeah.
And it was just... You could just see all the feathers going. That thing went on for a good hour. I was in there. I was in the fray for a good 20, 25 minutes, and then I considered going back in, but I said, you know what? I'm going to quit while I'm ahead and just watch the anarchy and then head my way back. And the funny thing is, despite everything that happened, the pillow I bought still held up. Now, I got to wash that fucking thing.
Yeah.
But it's now sitting in the trunk of my car.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll just let it sit there.
Did you drive out there or did you take the train?
Oh, I took the train. No way I was going to drive downtown. I just carried a pillow under my arm.
You just look like a hobo.
Yeah, I was a little concerned. I mean, I kept the pillow in the bag, but I was a little concerned. I was like, is anyone going to give me shit because I'm walking around downtown L.A. with a pillow?
Wait, who was going to give you shit about that?
I don't know. Random homeless people and morons?
Yeah. Well, there's I know Vin said this already on
Facebook, I think.
On Facebook, he made this comment. And it's true because this happened. I was recently doing a shoot downtown.
Okay.
And there were homeless guys walking around with, like, pillows and stuff. And yeah. Also fucking up our shots because we were guerrilla shooting, so they just would stand in frame
start
and stare
at
the camera, yeah. Jerking off. Yes. The like, could you not? I actually had to put a sign up that says, "If you're masturbating in frame, you're in this project."
And we are going to use your likeness, whether and we have the right to use it no matter in any way we
that's
like.
That's right. We will send this tape to the police.
Oh yes. But yeah, it was fantastic stuff, and there were a lot of, like I said, a lot of little kids, and obviously I was not going to hit a kid. And
should hit a kid, man. Teach him a lesson.
No, that's not fair.
It's humility. That's what this generation needs, some goddamn humility.
We already have humility. We can't get any jobs. So there you go.
These little kids don't give a shit about jobs. You need to show them reality. You need to show them that an adult doesn't give a fuck and people are going to fucking hit them in the face with pillows.
Unbelievable.
No matter how old they are.
Oh, yeah, I saw some guy wearing like a leather football helmet. Show them who's boss. Like, look, it's because your parents decide to fuck now instead of fucking years before that you're here, and now you're gonna understand the penalty.
You picked the wrong time to exist, pal.
Yeah. Some guy showed up with, like, a leather football helmet. Another guy was wearing a suit. Someone wrote Kilroy was here on their pillow.
Oh, I saw your picture of that.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
They spelled Kilroy wrong. It pissed me off.
What the fuck, man? Kilroy is...
It's not Kilroy. It's Kilroy.
K-I-L-R-Y-O-R-O-Y.
Yeah,
isn't it? Kilroy.
But he put Kilroy. He put Kill. It's like two words. Kilroy.
Kilroy doesn't give a shit.
That just pisses me off. I'm pedantic.
You're gonna hunt that guy down.
Yeah.
Spell it right, goddamn.
Yeah, I know. I would have beat the shit out of that guy with a pillow.
Like I said, it was weird to be in like.
Go back to school, you piece of shit.
It was basically like I said, getting into a beat down, and then as I said, I was beaten down with pillows, and it's like, oh, I knew that was coming. So yeah. Again, for yelling out passes.
Is there some advanced psychological form of self-loathing here where people just go to get their asses beaten by other people?
No, just general fun.
No.
I mean, I have to say, it was probably one of the funnest things I've ever done.
Next time, you should just take a bunch of random shit with you, like release some chickens, and fucking, I don't know, man. You gotta just get on that. Bring a mace.
When you say mace, you mean the spray or the actual, like a ball and chain?
A combination of both.
That's not gonna work. So it's a ball and chain that if I hit someone with
here's
it,
what I
it's
want.
Gonna release liquid.
No, here's what's gonna happen.
Okay.
It's a can of mace with a chain on it, with a ball with spikes. It's all metal. And it's actually carried and wielded by rap artist Mace.
Damn. I think you may have hit a trifecta there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, going. I mean, as I said, it was one of the funnest things I ever did. I really hope there are other events like this. I really had a great time. And, I mean, it was just because you had so many bodies and you're just running around. It's hot as hell. As I said, this will be the closest I've ever come to actual warfare.
Sounds like a sick pervert orgy.
Well, I mean, no, it's not like people were, like, naked or anything. I'm pretty sure on that.
No, that would have made it better.
Well, that would have been gross and disgusting. I can assure you there weren't really, like, hot-looking people there. I mean, it was regular-looking people.
A bunch of ugly people.
What do you mean?
Ugly people in a
pillow. Just regular people, you know, but I wouldn't want to see these people naked, you know?
Put your clothes back.
And anyone's that, and then there are people underage, and, like, that's going to create awkwardness and
That's what you do next time. You just wear, you go completely nude with sans, you have a merkin. Just like a neon.
You mean
green
pretty much
merkin.
Do what the guy like Pontius.
Oh, you know what
Jackass?
It is? You do this. You go as a troll, so you have like the big troll hair, like the neon green troll hair.
Oh, sweet God!
And then you're nude, but then you have like the troll merkin.
I'm not going to this.
Which is also a tiny troll.
Jesus Christ!
A troll cod piece.
That's gonna get my ball. That's gonna get someone's gonna immediately want to nutshot you, and you're gonna get your balls are probably gonna get beaten off of you. So
yeah,
so to speak. Yeah, right. I would definitely think. Also, I thought about maybe wearing a pith helmet.
Yeah,
but again, it's gonna get knocked off. But And again, I was also yelling at Boo Earns, just yelling out random
Boo
stuff.
Earns. I was saying Boo Earns.
Yes, it was probably as fun as the time when we did the downtown Harvey Dent rally. No, for Hollywood. Oh, those were good times. But yes, it was just gave you the right to be a massive smartass.
By the way, warning, I just farted.
Oh, Jesus. I'm fucking dying here. You look like Charlie Day. You just let one go. Oh,
yeah.
My eyes are burning.
My father
would say, you'd knock a buzzard off a gut wagon.
Whatever the fuck that... Yeah. Jesus Christ, how old is your dad?
Jesus.
It's from the 1800s.
He's a crazy old prospector, goddammit.
God damn it.
Oh my god. Well, it still won't be as bad as the Charlie Sheen stage show. Did you read the review of that?
Yeah. It wasn't so much a review as it was just a huge complaint.
Massive complaint.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know what everyone was expecting there. Yeah. Oddly enough, I heard Marc Maron was approached to help out with it, and he gave as much advice as he could, but Sheen just pulled a dick move and really
what
just,
a shock.
Was a total asshole.
What
and
a shock.
He's a sociopath. I mean, I don't see how that was unexpected.
What the hell was Marc Maron going to do on this?
I think the guy putting the show together had approached him.
Oh my god.
It wasn't, and he had a conversation with Sheen. This is on one of his recent podcasts.
Right.
And he offered advice, he had recommended doing something more anecdotal, not really like a routine, not trying to do stand up or anything.
Yeah.
Just telling stories, being honest, doing his thing, similar to what Maron does on his own podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And they,
didn't do it, obviously.
I don't think they took any of his advice, but, he did what he could.
Right. And obviously, I actually read that someone had spent $150 on tickets for this thing.
That's ridiculous. But it's because everybody wants to be part of something in popular culture, you know.
And the funny thing is, it already burnt itself out. It already did.
It instantly did, because here's the thing, too, is that it's really just, it's fascinating, but it's also tragic, because the guy's a lunatic, and you can see, regardless, he's not currently on any substances, but clearly his years of drug abuse and his own leanings toward this sociopathic behavior have really taken its toll on his brain, and whether or not this is a temporary psychosis or whatever his problem is, it's insanely tragic, and it seems really odd that everyone is encouraging that behavior, because he's just really just off his ass.
Yeah, it's mob mentality,
it's crazy, man.
Yeah, $150, could you imagine it, what kind of decent sex you would have been able to buy for that money, and instead of went for this? Could have got that money, could have been better spent getting a sequel to Men at Work than it was for this stage show. And I think it really says something to the fact that it was taking place in Detroit. I mean, holy
of
God.
Of all places.
Yeah, I know.
And right now, with their reputation and trying to get that RoboCop statue going, this is not helping.
Well, that statue is supposedly happening, though.
Yeah.
I think that's actually... I mean, I don't know if that's something to be... When you think about it, I mean, it is awesome, but at the same time, it's like, is that something you want to be proud of?
Fucking RoboCop statue? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We could use a goddamn RoboCop statue.
RoboCop wasn't in Los Angeles.
I don't care.
RoboCop, well, if they had done that, RoboCop's equally would have been in Los Angeles, but they never did.
What are you talking about?
Well, the thing that Darren Aronofsky wanted to do.
Oh, you mean the new RoboCop?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Los Angeles could use a RoboCop. If they did a reboot, we can get him in L.A.
I just don't know what they're going to do. They're not going to be able to recapture the glory.
Well, it's going to suck no matter what.
Yeah.
But, who I'd like to see do it is Neil Blomkamp.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Because he did this, if anyone's seen this online, I think this is him. I'm not sure. He used to do CG work. Prior to his film career.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear he did this thing, and I found it on YouTube one time, and it was called like Modern RoboCop or something like that.
Right.
And it was this machine. It was just total, CG robot character, and it's very realistic looking. Mm. And it was just a demo as if this robot was in and about the city doing its crazy robot shit.
Right.
Shooting at things and whatever. Yes. And I don't even know if it wasn't related to RoboCop at all.
Right.
But it was just a robot sort of law enforcement thing and stuff. Yeah. and it was doing all these acrobatics and crazy shit, and I think based on that he'd do a pretty awesome version of the character.
So RoboCop,
but you can't really compete with the original.
So RoboCop was doing parkour in this, or nothing wrong with parkour?
Yes, robot parkour.
Oh my god.
Which is fucking awesome.
I would think I remember this from Chud. They had a recast your favorite movies thread.
Yeah.
And I remember a lot of people tried to attempt remaking RoboCop. And
Rainn Wilson as Clarence Boddicker.
Yeah, right. They would have Jeremy Renner as Murphy. What do you
Murphy?
Think of that?
No yeah. way. He does not have the presence or the ability to do
the sexiness.
The swagger. Yeah.
The musk.
The
bravado.
Exactly.
The brassiness.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
then.
To speak. I like the brassiness.
Who would you then suggest, if possible?
Is Murphy?
Yeah.
That's a tough one, because, Peter Weller's already got that crazy robot voice. He sounds like that, remember? We
right?
saw him at the thing. He just sounds like a fucking robot.
Well, it's also him being a professor. It's quite...
Well, he just always sounded like that.
Yeah.
And, shit, I don't know. Like
Any
I said,
ideas?
I'd go with Rainn Wilson for Clarence Boddicker.
Oh, my God.
I'd go with, I don't know who'd be Ann Lewis.
Yeah, I'm terrible with actresses these days because there's just so many actresses and just I can't keep track.
We didn't set up the segment, so I don't have any. Yeah. I don't have any pre-existing. I got nothing. I don't have any pre-existing choices. You know who? Shit.
What are you trying to think of? I don't know.
This just died. All right. I'll come back to you with my RoboCop choice.
Yes, we'll get back to it, but...
Shaquille O'Neal. Wait, no. No, I didn't say that. Cut that out.
Yeah, and speaking of casting, you heard about Amy Adams becoming Lois Lane. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that whole thing's a disaster. I really hate Zack Snyder.
Did you see Sucker Punch? I hate all of his movies.
I didn't see Sucker Punch. Yeah. I already got fucked over by goddamn stupid-ass 300 and that horrible fucking Watchmen movie and just everything. I hate Snyder. I hate all... I really do not... Well, I don't hate him as a human being. I mean, I hate his work.
May he die in a fire.
I am not a fan of his work, and I definitely enjoyed the source material of his previous movies over the originals, being Dawn of the Dead, fucking Watchmen, and 300, and I don't think there are any improvements there. And I'm not looking forward to Superman, regardless of being a huge Superman fan.
I think there's still possibility here. I think as said by Jamie on the boards from his site from Think McFly Think, talking about the fact that you got Nolan producing, they're obviously going to want to keep a leash on him, that they're going to keep him in line.
I don't think so.
You're gonna have something good. I think
what it means is Nolan's going to get a huge paycheck.
Well, duh.
For producing the movies, or you know what I mean, his involvement with the movies. I don't think that Nolan's awesomeness is enough to counter the lack of quality or substance from Snyder's work. I don't think that'll happen. I don't think Snyder has the proper sensibilities to work on a project like that or anything. I think everything that was great about the source material from his previous work, specifically something like Watchmen, which was a character story that was very... it's not subtle, but it was far more about the content over the style.
Right.
Even though it was very stylized work by Dave Gibbons in the original book, it overall became this, you know, embarrassing action movie, pseudo-action movie. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, you can sum it up with moments where, like, we have Rorschach, who's a very... I don't know. I don't want to get off on a whole Watchmen thing.
Right.
I just... When characters are supposed to be... You know, when you have a whole premise of the characters being real world as you get in this kind of situation,
yeah,
real world characters having to deal with the shortcomings of being superheroes in reality, and then you have scenes where, like, you know, characters like Rorschach jumps out of a two-story window, lands fine, and starts doing karate with the police instead of the scene, you know, that I remember reading where he breaks his ankle and gets demasked or unmasked by the cops and taken to jail, which is a far more believable scene than characters jumping around, you know, defying gravity and doing martial arts and stuff like that. It's just embarrassing. It's just, some people will not see a difference there.
Right.
But to me, it was huge.
I know you're a big purist on that comic, and I can understand. I still stand by it. I mean, I haven't seen Watchmen in a while. I enjoyed it for what it was.
I found it to be completely, and I say embarrassing because I think that, again, I don't want to go off on a whole
Watchmen thing. I understand. But I still enjoyed it. I like the world that it was set up as. I mean, they really went to great lengths to depict that kind of world.
Felt like a parody.
Really? Interesting. I mean, to me, I've said this before, I thought what you saw on there was as good as you're going to get. You're never going to... There's not going to be...
In a weird way, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think
that... I don't think it's any... You're never going to be able to capture it perfectly.
It's weird because I know this is going to sound contradictory to what I'm saying, but I will agree with you on that. I don't think there would have been or could have been a more accurate version of the movie made. Having said that, it felt like a parody of the book, it felt like one of those movies, the superhero movie or scary movie, those kind of movies.
Yeah.
It felt like that version of Watchmen to me.
Hmm.
I can't shake that feeling. It was a joke.
Right. I mean, well, I could say, though, that that's kind of maybe the idea when you have people run around in costumes, superhero costumes like that, and when it's live action.
Well, you're always dangerously close to that no matter what you do.
Yeah.
But what's funny is that it felt augmented because I don't know how to say this, because part of this isn't even just being a purist about the book, it's more just a sort of logical transition from understanding the material,
mm-hmm.
and knowing, really, if you understand filmmaking, knowing what could be done with it.
Right.
It's not a matter of what you do with it personally, what your style is. It's a matter of what has already been done that works perfectly as a story that already exists, that takes almost no effort to translate. And a lot of the stuff didn't make it, so it became a joke because a lot of it was even contrary to what was in the source material. Mm. It reminds me of the Three Musketeers movie that's coming out.
Oh, man.
Well, and you know, like, or you have, like if you took and had Zack Snyder direct Hamlet, and it's like, you know, Hamlet is as much of a story about... It's not an action movie.
Right.
There's action in it, but it's not an action story.
Yeah.
And you can consolidate a lot of the material and turn it into a shorter story and still get the same impact of what the whole arc is of the character and tell the same story.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be very, very clever about it. It's a challenging prospect. I certainly couldn't... I don't think I could do something like that. And it's probably very daunting to think about
right.
editing down that material, but it can be done. It has been done. It's been done well, and it doesn't really betray the source material. It's in keeping with it, and it's not contrary to it. It's not like, oh well, Hamlet needs more adventure, so let's spice this up a little bit, and let's take the female characters and let's make them a little bit more girl power. Let's try to make them more, you know, let's have them do a scene where they do martial arts. You know, it'll really help, you know, identify with the young girls in the audience who, and it's like, look, that's just a joke. You know what I mean? It's like, you might think that this is working, but it's a joke. It doesn't make sense. It's like, and I just thought Watchmen was like that. It just felt like everything was like, you know, just heightened retardation. That's my two-word review of that movie.
Heightened retardation.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I was about to say, when you mentioned Hamlet, I was going to talk about, you know, well, there's Mel Gibson's Hamlet, but...
I like that version.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I had to see the trailer of The Beaver on the big screen. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, that looks awful.
Yeah, it's not good. And the fact that The Beaver had a British accent, I mean, come on now.
Yeah. That reminded me of Arrested Development. Remember when...
With Franklin
turned white in the machine?
Yes.
You've ruined the act, Joob. He all of a sudden had that English accent.
Yeah, I know. That was too good. Although, I really wish it wasn't an Arrested Development movie. I just don't... they really need to... The franchise... It's best as it is. I mean, it's funny how ridiculous some things have gotten, where they're already talking about rebooting Batman again. What they should have said was that
it's going to get rebooted halfway through the movie.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what the hell just happened? They just started the movie again. That after Nolan is done with his trilogy, that they're going to do another movie by 2015... And see, they shouldn't call it a reboot. What they should do, I mean, by that logic, anytime they recast, you know, James Bond is always, they don't call them reboots, it's just a different story. I mean, there's...
Well, except for Casino Royale.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm definitely, I wouldn't mind if you had, like, a Batman done by a different director and a different style.
They did that already.
And it fucked it up.
And it was awful. They were already skating that thin ice with Burton, because Burton's visions were
Gotho vision.
Well, I liked both of his movies, but and no shit, Batman Returns is one of my favorite movies of like all time. I love that movie.
Okay.
I'm serious, I love that movie.
Okay.
But you know, as if you're a fan of the character, if you're a purist about the character, you're gonna hate that movie.
Yeah.
And then it just got worse over time. Even though the later movies actually made a lot of money. Except for, I don't know about the last one. I don't know.
Batman and Robin, I think it did make money, but it underperformed. And that's the reason why it was held up for so long.
That was the only reason there wasn't a shitty sequel with Howard Stern, right?
Yep.
But the
God help us if that happened. Oh, my God.
The end of times.
Said before, he would have invented a gas that would have made women take their clothes off and make out with each other.
Yeah, or he would have been Fart Man or whatever his deal is. But anyway, so... by the way, that wasn't a random fart joke. That was
an actual character. I remember this. From 1992. He showed up assless.
And MTV on a jetpack, no less. Am I right?
No, he was on wires.
He flew down.
He was on wires.
Was he just supposed to be flying?
Some shit like that.
I don't know. Whatever. Who gives a fuck?
I don't know. I'm not a Stern fan.
That was the height of Stern's creativity.
Stern's creativity.
Ass man or whatever. Fart ass, whatever his stupid name was. Anyway, so... I don't know about that, but I'm saying they already did that before. It's not that it's impossible, but Jesus Christ, you know, I don't know if they want to go down that road.
I mean, there's always going to be Batman movies. I think there's definitely going to be that. I think until someone screws it up And, you know, then we're back to square one. I mean, we could have had that. I just recently read this on Crack. They had Gotham High. Yeah. Where all the supervillains are teenagers.
Nobody. There's not anybody.
Holy shit, that looked horrendous.
No matter what happens, everyone still would have watched that show. I would have watched that show.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
We had Clone High. How is this any different?
I think it's the same thing.
Maybe they had a Mr. Belvatron, I think. Oh, I Mr. Belvatron. But yeah. But
anyway, so they're doing the reboot. You said they keep saying these retards at WB. They said they're gonna do a reboot of Batman in 2012, which is the stupidest thing ever because they're already fucking making the movie for 2012. The next movie, The Dark Knight Rises.
Well, no, the new Batman is supposed to be in 2015. But then the other issue is that they're gonna do this Justice League movie.
They said that it was coming out in 2013.
Justice League, it's not gonna feature. They're gonna do their own. They're gonna feature their own Batman and Superman for it.
But I'm saying, like, dude, it's already 2011.
Yeah,
they are not making a Justice League movie by 2013.
I highly doubt they would even pull this off. I never followed the Justice League. I don't think. I mean,
for anyone who's in the same boat as you, read Grant Morrison's Justice League. You can look it up online. You just type Grant Morrison Justice League, and read those books. Okay. Actually, but here's the thing though: if you're not a fan of superheroes, don't read it because it won't make any fucking sense.
That's usually par for the course with Grant Morrison. So. Going back, I mean, to me, I'm not a fan of the... Because we're going to have, if you're going to have a super team movie like that, I feel like maybe that's going to be what, like, Watchmen was, you know? Because it's not... There's just going
to
be too much shit.
Why? There's nothing to indicate that would be bad. I mean, for all intents and purposes, even though I hate Watchmen, my beef with it wasn't the fact that it was incoherent. I didn't think it was incoherent. I just thought it wasn't very good. I think it did miss the point. That was the my main criticism. But I don't think it was incoherent. I don't think there were too many characters. I don't think that was a flaw of the movie. I think you could take 20 characters and interweave them and make it fine. There's going to be characters who take a back seat, but nobody wants to watch Aquaman anyway, so nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, right. They want to see Hawkman.
They did this on TV already. They had a Justice League episode of the Smallville TV show, and it was actually fairly well done. I mean, it was as good as it could possibly get for TV.
No kidding.
In my opinion. Better than that 97 Justice League pilot.
And that was just made for just the rights, I think.
That was Fantastic Four, not this. This was actually made as a TV movie.
Okay.
I mean, a TV pilot.
Right.
And it was awful.
Oh, yeah, I figured that. I don't know. Maybe it'll be worthwhile. I mean, then they got this thing with Avengers. I mean, like, are you going to give a shit about Thor? I don't.
What do you mean by giving a shit about Thor? It looks awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, fine. I got nothing else.
He's got a hammer. He yells. He hits things.
He's blonde.
He fights monsters.
The god
of
thunder?
He's a Thor. He's a Norse alien god magic man thing.
With the Mohinjadur, I think. What's the name of that hammer?
The Monir. I don't know.
The Mohinder? Yeah. It's something like that.
I don't know, but he's
we're
got
gonna
that,
get hate mail already.
He's got that crazy hammer.
Yeah.
I've never really read Thor, so you have to forgive me. My favorite Thor is from the Ultimates when they rebooted that series.
Yeah.
From Ultimate Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I've always known about the character, but I've never been a huge fan, which is kind of like why I like the movies, because it just consolidates all the cool stuff about him. I don't have to go back and read 9 billion old comics about Thor. Because, look, you know, it's a crapshoot with comics. If you're not already into the characters, you don't know where to go with these titles. Like, if you've never heard of... Like, for instance, like, you know, I've read a goddamn bazillion Batman stories, so, like, if I wanted to recommend something, I could tell you where to go, what years, and what issues, and stuff like that. But if you don't know, there's, like, how many years? 50
how many,
years?
How many fucking Batman comics?
50 years worth of Thor history? I don't know where to start, man. I don't know. 40 years? I forgot. Came out, what, 64, I think? Anyway, I went to public school. I can't do the math.
Yeah,
but,
hey, I did too, man.
So, but anyway, I don't know where to start, so it's better to see the movie. Like Iron Man. I've never really read Iron Man comics. I remember. I mean, I've read a couple as a kid, but.
Yeah,
like,
I never read Iron Man. But
I can't make heads or tails of the mythology, but the movie was great.
Yeah. Movie was good, and then, but I mean, I knew Iron Man from the mid 90s cartoon.
Yeah.
When he had that mullet thing.
Yeah.
And he had that heart thing problem or some shit like that.
Yeah, I think that's an important part of the.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought the whole thing was about his boozing. So
the heart thing?
No, about Tony Stark.
Yeah, he just drank too much. He had a liver problem and created armor.
He just liked drinking too much. He's just drunk all the time. But yeah, I honestly can't think of much else for this summer.
But Thor looks awesome. Green Lantern looks great too.
I never followed Green Lantern, so
I like that character a lot. Of things
you like Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern?
I have no problem with it. You got a bunch of people bitching about it, but it's the same thing as Robert Downey Jr. He's infusing a lot of his
wit,
you know, his personality onto the character, and the character's never had any fucking personality. So it's nice to see the character actually have a pulse and do things outside of just going, "I am Hal Jordan." I feel things.
Don't know. Like all the human Green Lanterns just go insane and just try to destroy the universe at some point? I think
not. John Stewart, he was awesome.
The reporter from the host of the Daily Show. I'm kidding. I know the John Stewart in Green Lantern is black.
The black Green Lantern.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
He's been able to keep it together, but
I think he makes a cameo in the movie too. The John Stewart.
Nice. Green Lantern. But yeah, what was exactly the difference between Hal Jordan and Guy Gardner other than a haircut? That's all I got.
Well, actually, in the original, when they first introduced Guy Gardner, who's the backup Green Lantern, that premise was that if Green Lantern was ever incapacitated, they'd have to have a backup Green Lantern,
Green Lantern.
They needed to pick up another human Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And then Guy Gardner was back in like the 60s, they had Guy Gardner. And when he was first introduced, he wasn't the buffoon that they made him later in like the 80s. But in the 80s, he just got the bowl cut and the hip clothes, like with the green vest and the tights and the big giant boots. And they tried to make him a real like hip 80s character.
Oh,
and sadly,
God,
that never left. Like, they never updated him. Like, he's still that 80s character. Like, they gave him like a lot of, they tried in the 90s, but then when they went back, like just in like 2005, they pushed him back into that 80s character again, and in that outfit, he's wearing that same stupid outfit, and it looks awful. It's embarrassing. But anyway, so hopefully that doesn't make it to the movie.
I mean, I just never.
I'll pay money not to see that on the big screen. But the mythology is a lot of fun, and it's really cool, and it's like a lot of superhero stuff. It's just out there fantasy.
Yeah.
And by the way, I want to talk about something really
quick
because I'm a huge fan of Adam Carolla. I listen to his podcast all the time. All
right.
I listened to Love Line when it was on for a billion years. Big, huge fan. Okay. Really jealous of a couple of colleagues who were on the Adam Carolla show for the book that we did, the Cracked book.
No kidding.
They were on, Mike and Dan were on the Adam Carolla show. And I want to be happy for them, but I was really jealous because I'm a huge Adam Carolla fan. But one of the last two episodes, I think it was like two episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
He went on this rant about superheroes.
Oh, Christ.
And he lost his mind. And I'm a huge fan. This crushed me.
What did he say?
I'm such a huge fan. Adam Carolla is like an idol of mine, right?
What did he say?
He was like, and this is going to be therapeutic. I don't care if anybody wants to hear this. This is just me now. Right. You can shut the podcast off.
Did he at any point say, let's break it down, people. Break it down.
Or thinking of Bill.
The helmet is not a chair.
I think you're thinking of Bill O'Reilly.
No. Actually, didn't he say, you know...
No, I've never
heard
him say
either. That would be Adam Carolla. He used to say that. Let's break it down, people.
I've never heard him say
that. He would always say, the helmet is not a chair. That would be his one of his things.
When was this? Was it like 1995 or something?
I don't know, 2003?
I don't remember that.
Okay. I also remember this great one, and then we'll get to what you're saying, is like, where he's talking about how he's so drunk, he doesn't want to drive, he's just going to walk, and he's going to insist on a walk. He's like, I'm walking, damn it! And, you know, just be yelling at people like
that. Oh, everybody's done that, right? I've insisted on walking while being drunk many times.
Very aggressive walking.
Many times, yeah. Not aggressive, just going like, I'm fucking walking. I've been like 90 miles from my place. I'll be like, I'm walking home. You can't stop me.
Anyway, going back to what was he saying?
What was I talking about?
Adam Carolla.
Oh, I was pissed off. I had a beef with Adam Carolla, and I wanted to get it out of my chest for the world to hear. Was because he was talking about superheroes. I'm a huge, huge superhero nerd.
Right.
And he was talking about how he hated superheroes, and the reason this became a problem, it was for me personally, was because he talked about why they sucked so bad. And I was like, well, you know, people, to each their own. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't like superheroes. I can understand why people think it's retarded, but it's a lot of fun. It's like wrestling or something. You just, you know, not everybody's into it, but you like what you like. But he was saying like how it was inherently homoerotic. And like that, it was liked by, you know, people with arrested development who just had like, you know, they were just like man children who were just awful people. And while all of these things may be true, I found them highly offensive.
Well, let me jump in.
I just thought it was weird because I was like, wait a minute, it was like this blanket logic for everybody who likes comic books and superheroes, and I was like, well, come on, I mean, it's like this is an inherent storytelling thread throughout every single story you've ever heard of, which is about human empowerment, and this is kind of the epitome of that. And it may be a juvenile, naive thing, but it's like, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to, you know, who doesn't have that? It appeals to your inner harmless fascist, but in a good
right.
way. Like
your inner Hitler.
No, I don't mean like that. I mean like the ability, the want to set things right, to make things work,
right.
to use everything within your power to sort of, I don't want to say fix things because that sounds like a really serious psychological problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, to like bend things to your will, but in a sort of a righteous kind of way. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, like, if you've ever been victimized in some way, even a stupid way, where somebody's bullying you as a kid or as an adult, just having to deal with shit that you just don't want to fucking, you know, you deal with, or, like, who wouldn't want to, like, waste a bunch of fucking, like, if you look at, like, what's going on in, like, fucking Rwanda or one of these, like, back or Tunisia or something, where there's, like, these groups that just come in to a village and just rape and kill and maim all these people. Who wouldn't want to fucking waste all those guys with some superpowers? Like, remember in Iron Man when he comes down with his fucking armor and just wastes a bunch of fucking soldiers and shit and just starts going nuts? And it's like, yeah, just, you know, you're, it's like justice. It's like, you know, that sense of righteousness that you want, that appeals to you, and despite your, you know, your rationale, I think everybody has that a little bit, you know.
Well, I mean, here's what I'm gonna say about Adam Carolla, because he does those rants, and that's kind of why I stopped listening to him for a long time, is that to me it found to be very repetitive. Now, obviously, he even admits he's not a smart guy. Well, that's not true. I mean, he knows his stuff. Well,
he's a smart guy,
but it's not like you're gonna get. This is not exactly. You know, the subtlety is not always there. So, and he...
What do you
even,
mean by the subtlety?
Well, in terms of what he's talking about. I think, you know, and this was mentioned by CJ, of all things, in an earlier Brain Dead radio episode, where, you know, Adam Carolla proceeds to rant against pretty much the exact same thing you said about people who love video games and who will, you know, wait in line for video games and are really, you know, are gamers, you know, kind of, you know, that way nerdy.
Was Carolla saying this?
Carolla saying this, and CJ had brought it up. And Siege made that point, and I agree with him, is the fact, yeah, okay, Carolla's not going to be, you know, reading comics and playing video games, but he's into sports. And the fact is that guys that are into, who are really into, who are sports fans and follow sports teams and players and stats, that shit is just as nerdy and just as, you know, just as insular as anyone who's, like, a really hardcore, you know, MMO gamer, or, you know, are really into comics. Now, I can understand his point about, like, yeah, I mean, what he's saying is kind of lazy. It's just a lazy attempt at going after it. Although, I admit, I mean, you know, today's comic industry is not, clearly, is a real shadow of itself than what it used to be. But, you know, again, he's of a different time, of a different generation. I'm sure as hell he's not going to go to his young kids when they grow up. You know, or when they get a little bit older, and they, you know, maybe they want to read a, you know, a Spider-Man comic or something like that.
Well, he had mentioned that he was reading comics to his kids, and he was just saying they were just completely asinine.
Well, of course they're fucking asinine. I mean, that's the thing.
I know, that's the funny thing.
I mean, I never understood this complaint of, like, sometimes I'll watch video game reviews of shitty video games, and then someone reviewing a shitty movie, and it's like you're not applying. I can understand criticizing it on whatever merits it's trying to do. But yeah, of course the comic book is asinine. It's silly. We know this. Don't apply realistic logic or modern sensibilities to something that was made, you know, so many, like, 20, 30 years ago, whether it's a piece of shit video game or movie, or trying to apply the logic of what you are, like a 45-year-old man, to what something is really meant for, you know, maybe, you know, kids. That's basically like saying me, as a 27-year-old, I should be... You know, I shit all over Cat in the Hat because I think, well, there can't be an anthropomorphic cat coming into this house. And if the cat that came into the house, the cops should have arrived. Because look at all this property damage. Okay, neighbors should have sued their asses for the disturbances. Okay, you know how asinine this type of, you know, of logic is? It makes no sense. It's completely idiotic. And it really, you're not attacking it on merit. I mean, you know, this is as a straw man, if there ever was one. I could see his point. Yeah, it's silly, but you're dealing with kids. I remember once with Carolla, where he talked about, I think he was interviewing Tom Kenny of SpongeBob, guy who did the voice of SpongeBob, and he was talking about how with Dora the Explorer, talking about children's TV. Obviously, I know is what he was doing.
He was talking about failed writers who failed to reach their own level, their own an audience of an older age, had sort of failed creatively and gone retreated to children's television.
No, I'm just talking about basically the silliness of children's TV. Of, like, he's talking about Dora the Explorer, where it's like, here's a book, and or like, can you find the book? And then there's a pause. You found the book. I mean, it's just children's TV of just like, and it was just going on and on about, like, you know, just like there's this pause and the kids don't care, and like, again, it's like, what is this? What is the point of this? Again, there's no reason, you know, there's a reason why it says ages 3 to 7 on the damn box. You can't go in as an adult into a ball pit and then bitch about the fact that there are enough, you know, the ball pit is too shallow. It's not meant for you.
Yeah.
There's no reason for this. Obviously, you know, if it's something for kids, you know, should there be stuff for kids that should be of quality? Yes. You shouldn't pander to them. Obviously, though, there's always going to be stupid cash grab crap. We've done it. Previous generations do it. And to any future parents out there, you did it to your parents when you were that age. So that goes on. Yeah. But again, that's kind of one of my hang-ups with Corollas is the fact, again, I don't give a shit about these rants. I like him, you know, having a good conversation. And he's, you know, of his personality, he has its purpose. But again, what he's talking about doesn't make any fucking sense. But the guy knows his stuff in other areas. But you can't tell me knowing all this stuff about construction, while a very valued trade, isn't just as nerdy as, you know, doing a, you know, video game. Or, like I said, dealing with sports. Like I said,
I don't know that I would necessarily agree with that.
Okay.
Because I think there's just a more useful quality to that type
of thing. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'll strike
and
construction.
And so I do agree that if you wanted to objectively look at that, that obviously, you know, that's far more valuable. And useful on a day-to-day, I mean, just all around. It's not so much that. I mean, I understood where he's coming from with the creative aspect and the fact that there was no subtlety or anything going on with this type of material. But it's sort of, I don't want to say it's inherent in the medium because it really shortchanges
right.
What could be an awesome storytelling medium,
yeah.
Which is comics, because it's the same thing as basically a movie, except it's just not moving.
Yeah.
And a lot of artists and writers have really strived to tell great stories.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, but
and
I
they're
mean,
not superhero related, they're just great stories on their own. But discounting those, because I don't give a shit about those, I like superheroes.
yeah.
If I want to watch stuff with subtlety, I'll watch a good movie or something, or read a good book. But this stuff is kind of it goes hand in hand with the exploitation element of the medium that mm-hmm. it is, and it's a lot of fun and it's crazy and it's kind of like Star Wars, if you want to use
exactly.
the analogy, where it has hints of philosophy, it has hints of subtext, hints of substance, but nothing that is on any level of sophistication. It is not sophisticated work. It never will be, no matter how you do it, how much you dress it up. It's never going to be anything more than what it really is, which is awesome exploitation stuff.
Oh yeah.
And I think I disagree that it's and not that I mean not that it, anybody gives a shit. I mean, like,
right.
we're arguing with somebody who's beyond. Who's like, you're going to listen to this and be like, oh, it's really turned my opinion around.
I'm going
to
go hunt those guys
comics.
Down.
Yeah, no, it's not like that, but I just meant, like, you know, I mean, giving the medium a fair shake, really. There's a lot of great artists and writers who strive to do really amazing work that does have more substance than your average comic book. But the superhero stuff, I mean, I think you can nitpick the shit out of it, but if you look at its roots and you look at the... And something that he likes to deconstruct is the psychology and the motivation behind people who like certain things. And I think that it really wasn't a fair assessment of that, because, you know, you're looking at it and you're like, you're talking about empowerment, and I know that sounds really general and really sort of strange, but I honestly think that if you really want to break it down, it's about that sort of sense of empowerment. I don't mean in like a self-help book kind of way.
Right.
I just mean, like, you know, like I said, that right, that inner need for that righteous sense of justice and balance in your life and in the world, you know, wanting things to make sense. The reason you pursue fiction in the first place is because you want to see things that make sense you happen, not
right.
the random stuff that happens in your day-to-day life. You know what I'm saying? That sense of control, and that's what I mean by empowerment. You know what I mean? And the taking the bull by the horns, having control of your own life and these elements and stuff like that. Not that you can't have that, that's impossible in your day-to-day life, but a more augmented sense of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, everything just falls into place that where you feel it should be.
Well, again,
And that type of thing. And then you know, the homoerotic thing I thought was really funny, because it is a lot of, you know, sculpted male figures and things like that. Same thing with women.
Yeah.
And you could easily write that off as exploitation, and it certainly is to a certain extent. You cannot argue with that. But the basis of it, I thought, was hilarious, because when you trace it back, it was always they were always drawn that way. And it's really simple, was because it was easier to draw that way.
Oh, yeah.
All these wrinkles and fabric and stuff like that were such a pain in the ass to draw that when they did that, it was shortcuts. And it certainly is in keeping with the idea that the people who make this stuff aren't that creative. But you have to remember, these guys were drawing the stuff on a weekly, daily basis to keep to pay the bills and to, you know, to get keep work and stuff. I mean, this was a job. It comes down to, like, you know, it's not that it gives them an excuse not to do anything good, but these were, this is an up and coming medium that, I mean, this medium is behind film and books, and it always kind of will be. And I don't mean because it's bad, I just mean because people are trying to push it higher than it really is. But it started with people who were not as skilled as the writers and filmmakers of the day.
Oh yeah.
And they're, and it's all just fledging and learning and developing and stuff. And I think in 20, 30 years we're going to see this just grow and get even better.
Really?
But
you think this format is even going to be around at that time? I mean, not, I don't think
we'll be, I think in one form or another, I think you're seeing it online, you're seeing little comic strips, comic books, stuff, you know, it doesn't have to be published and binded in paper. It just means you're going to see sequential artwork being used to tell stories always. And it's even if it's for humor, even if it's for a piece of drama, whatever it is. I mean, we could hop on here and tell a story in a graphic novel with nothing, with no money. We just draw it up and do it.
Throw
and
some, like, squares on there. Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's accessible for storytellers, and it doesn't really require more than the ability to draw. But you know, it's just funny because you know understanding the medium a little bit and being interested in it, it just felt like a really, really terrible.
Well, it was very lazy. It's a broad brush.
Yeah, just a short change of the medium and the people who enjoy it. I just thought, man, you know, there's so many people who are into this stuff that I think that writing them off for that type of person was really, you know, it just seemed unfair.
Well, I can understand that he's done this before. I think you're absolutely right about, you know, what you're dealing with in terms of the industry. I think there are two great books out there about comics. Obviously, Men of Tomorrow. And then the other one called The 10-Cent Plague. And you get a real sense of what this industry was. I mean, that's the thing about, all, as you were saying also about exploitation, genre, you know, genre fiction and genre movies are like that. I mean, just they are vehicles for, you know, philosophy and all that, but they're not sophisticated. And I think that's part of the fun. But again, you know, like I said, he's just, it's a lazy argument, and it, obviously he's not going to care. I just think you're absolutely right. It's just writing it off, and it's been done. But that's why I'm not always a fan of Carolla, is that I'm not interested in his rants because I personally don't give a shit. And, you know, when you hear, you know, to me they're repetitive. So I just find them just boring, and I'd rather go listen to something else, and that's what I do.
It's funny because, having said that, I think the reason it bothered me, like I said, because I was such a fan. I'm like a really big fan. I listen to the show every day. It's while I'm working and stuff like that. And I like the show a lot. But I was just personally, I wouldn't say offended. I was just stunned at the assessment of the industry and the people who work in it and everything. Well, I was just like, wow, you know, to write off so many great talented people and so many awesome books and just the whole medium. I mean, even at its worst, it's a lot of fun. It's just fun, you know? And it's like, it's sometimes it's cheap, sometimes it's easy, and it's silly, but it's enjoyable.
I never understood that, because this is not a guy exactly known for sophistication. So, but again, you're not talking about someone who knows the stuff. He's just some guy, you know. He's even going to say, look, I'm not exactly an educated, you know, I'm not a Rhodes Scholar here, you know. So, and it's not like he's known for that. He's just, you know, that's who he is. And that's just what, you know, you're going to deal with stuff like that. I mean, I'm not...
Well, thank you for talking me down.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not... I can understand why he did it. I mean, I don't agree with it at all. As I said, I find it to be very lazy. But again, you know, that's not... You're not gonna expect him to do a piece on talk about modern art here. It's not gonna happen. I mean overall I
was really just a disagreement, and I just thought it was an interesting topic.
Oh, I agree,
because you know that is a medium that is really, really beat up, and I think it's awesome. And not everybody has to like it. And I don't think you could hand this guy any piece of work in comic book form, and he would really enjoy it. And it's not even like, I don't mean that as a dig. I'm not going to be like, oh, it's stupid, he's not going to enjoy it. I just meant, like, it's just not his thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing of, like, you know, I'm not a heavy reader. I'm not a big, huge reader. I love writing. I'm a big fan, you know, like, of people who write, like, authors.
Yeah.
Mainly in the sense because it's such a difficult job to do to do well. It's insane. And, it's I have the utmost respect for it, but I'm not the world's biggest reader. I don't read all the time. I've got a ton of books that are sitting on my shelf collecting dust, and I want to get to them, but I haven't. But you know, I've certainly read my share of books that are, mm-hmm. are fantastic and better than most of the movies you'll ever see in your entire life, and most of the comics you'll ever read,
yeah,
and that type of thing. But you know, there are schlocky authors as well,
of course,
and, you know, and everything. So it's but you know I'm not a huge reader, but I wouldn't write off books just because I didn't really care.
Again,
for them. I thought, they're for nerds.
It would have been handled a lot better if you would have just said, look, it's not my thing. You know, I admit I could find this kind of silly, but again, there's no reason to shit on me.
I personally just found the opinion to be unfounded. But,
well, of course.
But, you know, whatever.
I mean, that comes with the territory with that guy. I mean, you know, just then we'll wrap things up in just a minute here. Is just that it kind of reminds me of there's this video game reviewer called Yahtzee. He has a site called Zero Punctuation.
Yeah. And he reviews the game Yahtzee?
No, he doesn't review the actual game Yahtzee, although he actually should at some point. But, well, his whole
thing... We can review it right now. It sucks.
Yes. Yeah. And I drink out of... I use that cup to drink my liquor out of.
I prefer Risk. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I never actually played Risk.
You can play Risk online. At
wow.
Pogo.com.
Oh, I'm going to have to look
You can play that. Risk online. It's awesome.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to check that out. But yeah, that guy, Yahtzee, some dude from Australia, he reviews video games. He has these cute little animations. I really like them. But, again, every review is incredibly negative. I mean, I'll give him props for the fact that he's, you know, really gets in there. But, it seems almost to the point of nitpicking. And it just, I mean, it goes once again, it's kind of like, you know, I like to think of it as Mad Magazine. If you hate the game, you hate the prod, you're going to agree with everything he says. If you like the
I'm
product,
contractually obligated to say fuck Mad Magazine.
Oh, okay. Well, you didn't read Mad Magazine as a kid?
I told you, I'm contractually obligated.
Oh, okay.
To say fuck
I'm just
Mad
saying,
Magazine.
Well, oh, that's right, absolutely, because you're working for one of their competitors, Jugs. But I will say that... you know, with his reviews, to me, they're just carried to such an extreme, and it's just like, you know, because again, you could pick apart anything. So, but then he even say, look, I actually like this game, but these are, you know, the hang-ups I have. And again, it goes back to the complaints, as I said, I used with Cat in the Hat. I just sometimes think you're just taking the complaints to such an extreme, you know, of what you're trying to base it on. It's like, this is ridiculous. You're not basing it off own merits. You're basing it, you know, I mean, maybe it's an attempt at humor. I say attempt, because it's not funny. And, you know, it's just the way I see it. It just reminds me of that to a certain extent. Although I still watch his reviews, because I haven't bought a fucking video game in God knows how long.
6 months.
Yeah, at
least.
2 weeks. God knows. 5 years. A score.
Never.
You know, since 1865.
Yeah.
Who knows? So, again, it's just like... And there are other reviewers that are known for like shit like this, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you can go down the list. But
well, it reminds me of like, you remember like in high school, like if you had kids that averted sports or didn't understand sports.
Right.
You had like geeky kids. Well, you definitely had the jock kids. And I say jock, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, I hate being so stereotypical about it, but you know, you got like the
kids in sports.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got the sport oriented kids. And then you got people who are all around pretty cool. Like, I know people who are into everything.
Yeah.
And then you got people who are really into their thing and they don't really get other people's business, other
right.
people's, you know, their likes. And so, like, you'll have a guy who's, like, more sports-oriented be like, I just don't get, you know, nerdy stuff. I don't get,
right.
you know, like, being over the age of 8 and owning a toy because
yes.
it looks cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm
right.
an extremely visual person. I love three-dimensional stuff. I don't have $100 to pay for statues, so I buy a bunch of action figures because they fucking look cool.
Right.
You know, that's it. I mean, like, you know, that's all I got. I just think they look cool. They're crazy looking. I appreciate the sculpt and the design and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fun. It's cool. And, but there's people that don't get that. They'd be like, Jesus Christ, you're like a little kid. What's wrong with you? It's
yeah.
retarded. And you're like, oh, it's just cool. I mean, it's just fun. It's not
right.
a big deal. You know what I mean? Don't get all bent out of shape about it. But then on the other hand, you have those geeks that overcompensate that do the same thing to sports guys.
Yeah.
Where they go like, well, fucking A, man, football is just a bunch of, you know, they're just a bunch of dudes. They're acting all gay with each other. And they're touching each other. And they're about to fuck each other. Blah, blah, blah. And they shower together naked and stuff like that. And you're like, dude, nothing there is inherently homosexual. It's that you're projecting that onto it because
right.
that's the stuff that you don't like about it. That's the part you're uncomfortable
yeah.
with. It's the part that, you know, it's easy to pick on because it's an obvious target. That also is a lazy argument for that type of thing. You know, these guys aren't getting together and raping each other in a locker room. it's not what's going on. I mean, maybe somewhere, but not all the time.
Well, what's
you know?
Funny, I think it is this, for sports, is that it was a more traditional, this is for men. You know,
it is. It's not. I mean, you know, it's funny because today I went down and bought some comics. I haven't bought comics in a long fucking time.
Yeah.
And I went and got some. And I got. I come from the time, like we both come from a time when being a teenager wasn't cool. It wasn't cool to be into comics. Like right. I don't know how it is now. I think there's a little less stigma attached to it.
I think it depends on what you're into. I think. I mean, obviously, you know, and I love to bring it up, but you know, Scott Pilgrim. There was that, it opened up that audience.
Yeah.
I think also if anyone's really into anime, obviously they're going to read mangas. I don't necessarily think they're going to be reading traditional comics. Well, I think that's still more of a nerd, it is kind of...
But the point... there's nerd chic. The point I was getting to was that, you know, you might be able to walk around with an Iron Man comic nowadays, or read it in public, yeah. and people might not think you're mentally handicapped, you know, and they've seen the movie, so they right. kind of know how cool it can be. So they're like, oh, yeah, whatever, Iron Man, that's cool. Or Hulk or X-Men yeah. or whatever. I mean, you can read a fucking X-Men comic in public. I think people would actually think, you know, they don't think you're a complete asshole.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know how it works. But I remember back in the day when you would read a comic book, people would think you were fucking retarded and horrible and make fun of you, and it was just a nightmare. So you'd have to hide your comics because you'd be like, oh, my God, this is, you know.
I will point out this stigma.
I will never get laid if I show that I like comics. I just can't yeah. do it. Which, by the way, turned out not exactly to be true, but it's still kind of a paranoia. But anyway, it was something you didn't want to flaunt. You know what I'm saying? So today I went and got my comics, and they gave me a bag, and on the bag it said Free Comic Book Day in gigantic letters.
Yeah.
And the whole time I've got to reconcile this within myself of being like, thinking like back to when I was a kid when I was like, hide your comics. You know, when you're in high school or whatever, hide your comics, and people thinking you're a nerd. And then it's like, wait, it's okay. Comics aren't that bad, you know, people aren't gonna like shun you, and
it's kind of funny
and stuff. So it's like you're still dealing with that kind of thing. But there's just these easy arguments on both sides for both of them to write this again, stuff off. You know?
It's lazy. I will point out about the stigma of being labeled as some kind of, you know, of some mentally arrested individuals. That does apply if you are reading Archie. I just want to point that out. How dare you?
I have a box of Archie comics.
Oh my God.
I do. Old ones from like the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Wow, I can't even imagine what that must have been. I will say I never had any trouble reading comics. I mean, my comic buying days were from about, say, 99 to about 2003, and I just walked home with my bag of stuff, and no one said anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see what you're talking about. It's weird. But you're right. That stigma is not so much there. I think, again, it just goes back to the whole... There are other forms of nerddom, I think, that will get made fun of, but I think it's more just within that community because of the internet and the way you have that echo chamber of ideas and just like,
yeah.
it gets ridiculous.
It reminds me of saying like, oh, you know, man, anybody who uses the internet's a pedophile. Because I hear about all the time that people are busted on the internet because they have kiddie porn. It'd be like, Jesus Christ, that's such a huge generalization. There's so many people that use the internet.
It's lazy thinking.
It just seems unfair. It really does. It's insane.
I mean, again, that's just dealing with... Well, when you hear someone say something like that, it's like, well, I can't rely on any of your other opinions because you sound like a complete moron. So
you heard it here first. Do you think Adam Kroll's a moron?
Well, I'm not going to say that at all.
Again,
he knows a lot about construction, and he was pretty good on the Man Show, and also I liked his work in The Hammer. So
I haven't seen The Hammer yet.
It's all right.
I'm interested in seeing
low budget,
but I'm a huge Adam Carolla fan. I was a little personally devastated, but I'm glad we had this talk.
Oh yeah, and hopefully he doesn't try to sue us for slander. Anyway, for the Ed Hawken Show, I'm Ed Hawken,
and this is Randall.
Keep it classy.
Mr. America, walk on by your schools that do not teach. Mr. America, walk on by the minds that won't be reached. Mr. America, try to hide the emptiness that's you inside. But once you find that the way you lied and all the corny tricks you tried will not forestall the rising tide of hungry freaks, Daddy. Great society.